Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
All right, we've come to a pause in our study in Christian giving in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We're only going to pause momentarily, and then we're going to continue on because, as you remember, the whole bulk of chapters 8 and 9 deal with the subject of Christian giving. And so there's a lot here. But we have now covered the first section, which is verses 1 through 9, and that gives us opportunity to pause and consider some of the lessons that we have already learned before we move on to the next section, which contains apostolic advice in verses 10 and 11, and some helpful explanation of verses 12 through 15. So there's where we are going, but we're not there yet. We're about to finish up the applications of section 1 so that we can move on into section 2. So we continue the subject of Christian giving, New Testament giving, grace giving, whatever designation you want to give to this, but the important thing is not what you call it. The important thing is that you understand it correctly, understand it biblically, not that you impose your idea of what those phrases mean upon the Scriptures, but rather that we, by the help and grace of God, in the best way we can understand, with the most honest heart that we can bring to the subject, that we draw out of the Scriptures what they actually teach about grace giving, and then we apply that to our practice. So that's where we're going on this Wednesday, May 24, and are thankful that you could join us and are grateful for those financial gifts that help us pay the bills and keep us teaching God's Word on this station. All right, in our pause, what lessons have we learned so far in the first section of 2 Corinthians chapter 8? We have learned that grace giving is generous giving. Generous giving is the evidence of God's grace at work in our lives, working in our lives in the area of our giving as well as in other areas of Christian development. But grace giving is generous giving, which then is related to the second concept, which is that grace giving involves a determination to give generously. Grace giving is an attitude that falls back, or maybe I should say calls forth, God's enabling grace to be able to give abundantly, yes, even more abundantly than I have up until now. That's what grace giving is. It basically the attitude, oh Lord, give me more grace so that I can be more abundant in my giving. Is that your attitude? The third thing we learn out of this section is that giving is a privilege. Remember the Macedonian churches that are the primary human example of how our giving should look, the ultimate example being Christ himself, but the human example are these three churches of Macedonia that gave so sacrificially and so joyfully and so generously, and remember, they begged Paul to be able to participate in this project offering. It almost seems, though it's not stated, but it almost seems as if Paul was inclined to pass them by because of the hardships they were facing. And they said, no, we want to give. We want to have a part because we don't consider giving to be an unwelcome duty. We consider it to be a privilege. And so to be able to give is a privilege and ought to be considered a privilege. And if we're talking about grace giving, then that's the way we will view it. And it's not only a privilege to be able to give, but it's a privilege to have worthy purposes for our giving. We may not understand how blessed it is to be able to have good, God-honoring receptacles for our giving. We just take it for granted that there's always more opportunities to give than we can give to, and that truly is the case in America today. We can't give, we can't keep up with them. All the appeals that we get in the mail and the appeals we get over the internet, give to this, give to that, give to the other. We've got to learn to order our priorities biblically, starting with the support of our local church. That's our first obligation. And sometimes moving beyond that to other things, such as this project offering that Paul is organizing, which is beyond the needs of the local churches, but was all done through the local churches. It wasn't that he was bypassing the local churches to appeal to funds from people in some other way, but he was appealing to them to do this through their churches, church by church by church, but it was something beyond the financial support of the needs of the local church. It was a special project offering for a project that was in Jerusalem, hundreds of miles away from their local church. But the point is that this was a wonderful opportunity for them to be able to give. God had set before them something that was worthy of their giving and gave them an opportunity to be involved in that. And they recognized that to be able to give like this is a privilege. To have worthy purposes to be able to give to is a privilege. But I have another lesson, and that is that giving is a spiritual activity. We do it with material resources, but it is a spiritual activity. What did Jesus mean when he said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven? We can't take our checks, we can't take our dollars, our Benjamins, we can't take our money and transport it from earth to heaven, can we? So how do we lay up treasures in heaven? Well, by giving to the cause of Christ upon earth in a way that is biblically directed and is Christ-honoring, we are laying up treasures in heaven because it's a spiritual activity. God takes note of what we do with material resources here upon earth as we support the cause of Christ in a biblically directed way, and God says, I am transporting those gifts to heaven. It's a spiritual activity. Remember that parable that Jesus told about the unjust steward? And he then used that to apply some truths to his disciples, and he said, make to yourselves friends by means of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into their everlasting habitations. Make friends by means of the mammon of unrighteousness, the earthly things, the money, that for most people tends to unrighteousness because of the way that it is misperceived and mishandled and misused. It doesn't have to be that way. For Christians, it's not unrighteous mammon. It's a wonderful opportunity to turn these material resources that are usually used in an unrighteous way into a very righteous way. But how do we do it? We make friends by means of the mammon of unrighteousness that when we fail, that is when we die, when our bodies fail, they, the friends we made by means of the unrighteous mammon, may receive us into everlasting habitations. In other words, investments in the work of the Lord that God uses to bring people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ are friends that we make with material resources, but it's a spiritual activity. Giving in the right way turns material resources into spiritual gain. So giving is a spiritual activity. And then the fifth lesson that I learn in the first section is that giving is related to spiritual health. Poor health, poor spiritual health, hinders our giving. Good spiritual health promotes giving. But there's another side, a flip side of this, and that is generous giving promotes improved spiritual health. It goes both ways. Do you understand what I'm saying? Giving is closely related to spiritual health. Poor spiritual health hinders our giving. If your giving is admittedly not very generous, and some of you, to be honest, would have to say that that is the case, this indicates a poor level of spiritual health, whether you recognize it or not. And a lot of people don't. A lot of people have marshaled their arguments and their justifications of why they don't need to give this, why they don't need to give that. This is just preachers and churches grabbing for money, begging after money, and I am not going to fall into that trap. No, you're going to be selfish and keep as much of it as you can for yourself and give just whatever you consider to be the very minimum that you think you can get by with. But friend, you're doing this before the Lord. And what your low level of giving indicates is a low level of spiritual health. But if you had better spiritual health, you would have increased giving, and you would have a desire to see it increased more. Obviously, you can only do what you can do. But many of you could do more than you are now doing, and if you can, you should be, and your desire should be, I want to be able to do more than I can do. I can only do so much. I want to do all that I can do by the help and grace of God. God help me to do it. And I want to be able to do more than what I'm able to do now. God, by your grace, enable me to do that. In other words, God, enable me to have more in order that I can give more. That's the right attitude. It's a close parallel to the wrong attitude that many people have, the so-called health and wealth gospel, that if you'll give to this ministry, God will bestow blessings upon you in return. No, it's the other side, other way around, the flip side. If you have a heart to give, God will give you more material resources to enable you to give. In a sense, it sounds like the same thing, but it's really not. It's all in the motive, isn't it? You don't give in order to get. I'm going to give so that I can become wealthy, or at least more wealthy. No, you desire to have more, a larger amount of resources, a larger stewardship that God entrusts you with more. You have a desire for that in order to be able to give more. And you ask God to enable you to do that by his grace. But, of course, you know that he's not going to do that unless you're giving in an exemplary way now. And if you are giving in an exemplary way now, demonstrating that that you do give in a sacrificial, generous, joyful way with what God has entrusted you with, and you desire to give more, God will no doubt give you more so that you can give more. Do you understand? And therefore, learning how to give does promote improved spiritual health. These are wonderful lessons to learn. And now we'll move on to the next section as we take this up again, Lord willing, tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.